How many are blessed to be here on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. As you remain standing, amen, the volumes are really low intentionally, amen, to respect the neighborhood. Amen. Last week, someone said it was kind of loud, so we just want to be respectful to the neighborhood because we're a church of order that serves a God of order, and we want to see God move here on this beautiful Sunday morning, not just in our lives, but to move through our lives in reaching those that are still lost and bound and in need of a Savior. Amen. Right there where you're standing, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for this precious moment, this time, Lord, to be able to stand in your presence, Lord, recognizing you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Savior of our lives. And this day, Holy Spirit, we give you full permission to do whatever you want to do deep, deep within our hearts, within our thinking, and within our actions. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats. Amen. If you're here for the first time, we welcome you. Amen. On the backside of the church, not the desert, but the backside of the church, we welcome you here on this beautiful day. Amen. Via Facebook, we welcome you as well, those that are tuning in and watching. Amen. We pray that you be blessed here this day as well. Amen. I know we're having a few difficulties right now with the Facebook. For some reason, the camera wasn't working and so forth, but we're going to keep going forward here this day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, once again, it's good to be with you all here this morning, and I believe the Lord has a word for you here this morning. I know it's real easy to lose your focus out here in the parking lot. You know, there's a lot of birds, you know, making their little noise in the background. There's people walking, cars driving by, cars going through the alley. So there's a lot of things that are going to try to take your focus from the focus on what the Lord wants you to focus on, and that's His Word here this day. Amen. Right after the service, we can get together and fellowship and talk about whatever. Amen. But for right now, let's let the Lord speak into our hearts, into the situation that we're living and these present times that we're living right now. Amen. It's never been this bad ever before. Amen. And it just might be getting worse and worse. So the church, you and I need to be ready. Amen. Hear this Sunday morning. Amen. So once again, the theme is the same. Amen. A time to build. I believe the Lord is looking for true builders in this time to build. There's only people that are able to build when everything's going good, when everything's going your way, when everything's just great. But in these end times that we're living in right now, the Lord is looking who He can use to build His kingdom, even in tough times, even in hard times, amen? And that's why it's very important here this day that we really listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. I want to have a stand here this day. I have a little note here on my notepad. As we stand here this day, we're going to have a prayer request. And it's for our sister Patty, amen. Patty Levy, amen. We're going to be praying for her. She's doing much better. Amen. God knows what's taking place. So we're going to pray for Patty, amen, that's a member of our church. And any other prayer need that you may have in concern of a family member, loved one, a neighbor, a co-worker, that this is a time we're going to lift them up to the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We lift up Sister Patty, your precious daughter, unto you here this day, knowing that you are still a healer, that you have not changed, for you are the same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we know by the stripes on your back, we are healed, Lord. And we ask that you do that finish work upon the life of Patty, Lord, and amongst the life of all the others that are being lifted unto you here this beautiful Sunday morning. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Pastor Felipe, I'm not that loud, am I? All right. You may have your seats here this day. I know the Lord has been speaking, amen, and I'm excited to be able to give his word here this morning off of a rooftop, amen, because we're a radical ministry, amen. I could be down there, but we're a radical ministry, and we're living in radical times that call for a radical ministry, people that are willing to step out of their comfort zone and answer the call of God upon their lives, and not just be church members, amen, but those members that are answering the call of God and being used of God. As we get into this morning's message, amen, the title of the message is The Time to Build in End Times, Acknowledging Christ, amen. As we go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, I'm going to be touching on a parable of the wheat and the weeds, amen? A story that Jesus told those that were there on that particular day, amen? And the Bible reads, here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. Tell your neighbor, good seed. I'm also reading out of the NLT, the New Living Translation, amen? Might vary a little bit from your translation. But that night, verse 25 says, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. I want you to hold that part, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmers' workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? Question mark. Verse 28, the Lord replies, an enemy has done this. The farmer explained, should we pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied, you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn. So here we read a parable that the Lord gives, amen, in regards to the wheat and the tares, the weeds, amen. And in verses between verse 37 and 39, it gives a breakdown to the parable, an explanation, amen. Let's go there, for we can find out who the farmer is, what the field represents, the good seed, the weeds, the enemy, the harvest, and the harvesters, what all this represents, amen? So if you would go to verse 37 to 39, it gives us that breakdown, amen? Jesus replied, the Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. So here we come to find out that the farmer in this parable is the Lord, Amen? Verse 38 goes on to say, the field is the world. So we find out that the field is the world. Many think the field here is the church, but it's not speaking about the church. It's speaking about the world. I mean, the condition of the world. So here we come to find out in verse 38, amen, that the field is the world. And then it goes on to say, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. So the good seed represents you and I, the people, the saved, amen. So we're being spoken about by the Lord as not only seed, but we're being spoken to the Lord as being good seed. Good seed. So if there's good seed, we must know here this Sunday morning that there's also bad seed. That many of us were at one time. But today, we are the good seed that the Lord is sowing into this field, which represents the world. Amen? Then it goes to give the breakdown. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. Amen? So this is what the weeds represent within this parable. Verse 39 goes on to say, the enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. Amen? So here we find within this parable two sowers. One being the farmer that we know is the Lord, and the other sower being the devil. Amen? The harvest, it speaks of the harvest there in this parable. And the harvest, the Bible goes on to say, is the end of the world. So when the Lord in this parable speaks of the harvest, he's speaking of the end times. Not something that is before us, but the end times that we are currently in right now. Amen? And the harvesters, at the real end there in verse 39, it gives the breakdown of who the harvesters are. And the harvesters are the angels. Amen? So here we find out in 37 that the farmer is, the Son of Man is Christ, and the field is the world, not the church. That the good seed is you and I, a redeemed seed, I would like to put it, amen, redeemed seed that's been saved to produce in this world, in this field that we live in, amen? And the weeds are the people that belong to the evil one. And in verse 39, we find that the enemy is the devil. The harvest represents the end times that we're living this world right now. And the harvesters represent the angels of the Lord, amen? So with knowing that, let's get into the message here this Sunday morning. Amen? I have a question that I want to open up with here this Sunday morning. How many know that the devil right now is getting nationwide recognition? He's getting nationwide recognition here this day as I'm giving the word. Even on a Sunday morning, he's getting nationwide recognition, amen, through the virus, through the riots that are taking place throughout the nation and country. He's getting worldwide recognition as we're hearing the word of the Lord here on this beautiful Sunday morning. I truly believe within my spirit that there's not a better time for the church, the body of Christ, you and I, to stand and to raise up in these end times. And that we would be that good seed in the hands of the Lord that he's sowing into this field that represents the world here this day. It's such a great time to be a Christian. A part of the many parts that make up the body of Christ. It's a good time to shine in these darkened times that we live in right now. And fulfilling our purpose as being the good seed that the Lord is sowing in this field, which represents the world, to produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold. I want my life to count in these end times. I want my life to count not only within my own life, within my marriage, within my children and family, within this church, but I want my life to count worldwide, nationwide. Because our ministry is an international ministry all around the world in over 33 countries. And yes, the enemy might be getting nationwide recognition right now, but we need to know that we too are a part of a worldwide ministry in every color, in every tongue. We're Victory Outreach International. We have seed all around the world in this field that we live in. God has called us to be good seed in bad times. And I believe the Lord is wanting the church to stand right now and to be that good seed and to bring recognition to what the Lord wants to do, to bring recognition unto who the Lord is. There's too many Christians going to church nowadays that don't know who the Lord is, that don't know about His saving grace and how He's able to do all things in all times nationwide. He's able to move and He's able to be everywhere at one time. And I'm for sure here this Sunday morning, I'm certain that He is with us here in this church parking lot. And that He's speaking to the church, the good seed that He has redeemed to be planted into this world to produce good fruit, the kingdom of God. Amen? In John 10:10, we find the purpose not only of the enemy, but the purpose of the Lord as well. It's a very common used scripture, but I believe it's being used here this Sunday morning, very timely. And the Bible here in the book of John, I'm used to looking at the screens again in the scriptures. Now I got to look for them. Amen. Inside the church, they're before me. It's tricky being up here with the wind blowing. I got little paper clips all over the place. So, and then my lapel, I'm having to hold the mic because the wind makes too much noise on the recording. So I have one hand. It's windy up here. But praise the Lord, I've done trickier things. Amen. And the book in John 10:10, the Bible reads, the thief's purpose, the enemy, his purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. How many know that he's fulfilling his purpose? He's killing right now innocent lives. He's stealing, he's destroying, and he's moving nationwide right now, fulfilling his purpose as it is written in the word of the Lord. He's fulfilling his purpose. The Bible records that he is a defeated fold, that he was defeated by Christ at the cross of Calvary, that his weaponry has been stripped by him. The Bible records that he's the father of all lies, and yet he is fulfilling his purpose in these end times that we're living in killing and destroying and stealing everything that belongs to you and I, that belongs to Christ, the church. And he's doing a very, very good job. I want to testify and declare here this Sunday morning, if the enemy is able to fulfill his purpose, then why can't Jesus fulfill his purpose here in these end times? If he defeated the enemy over 2,000 years ago, then why is it that it looks like on the news here this day, within our family, within our marriages, that it looks like the enemy is getting the best of the fight we're in right now? He's fulfilling his purpose. And the way he fulfills his purpose is through using people, which in this morning's parable represents the weeds that he is the sower of. And just as much as the enemy needs people to sow through, so does the Lord here this morning need people that he can sow, not only in their lives, but through their lives. And not just becoming saved and becoming good seed, but being good seed that is planted in this world that we live in. The Bible goes on to say in the book of John 10:10, we find the purpose of the thief, but then Jesus is speaking in red in my Bible, amen? And Jesus goes on to say, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So here in the book of John chapter 10, verse 10, we find the purpose of the enemy and we find the purpose of the Lord. And they're contrary to one another. They're opposites. It boggles my mind that people would want to be used of the enemy when his purpose is to kill and steal and destroy. But if you were lost and bound as I was lost and bound one day, you would know that sin starts off as fun. Sneak out of mom and dad's house on a Friday night for the first time in high school. Nowadays, they're sneaking out of the windows in elementary school. In my days, amen, I'm 57 years old. It started late in high school where I snuck out for the very first time and snuck back in before mom and dad got up in the morning to go to work. And it was fun. It was so much fun that the next week came and I did it Friday, then Saturday. And it was so much fun, then I did it Friday, Saturday. And before you know it, I was clubbing. I was going out every night because sin in the beginning was fun. And the enemy would use others to sow bad seed into my innocent life that had been raised up correctly by mom and dad with good morals. And before you knew it, what looked like fun, what started as fun, now the enemy was destroying my life, stealing everything that was good. And he tried to kill me over and over through 15 overdoses. He was fulfilling his purpose in my life. And even though I didn't want it to take place no more, I was in so deep that mom and dad's cries could not help me. My brothers and sisters could not help me. I was deep into addiction. No one could help me. But a man called Jesus, one day entered my life through grace and mercy. He entered my life in a time where I didn't deserve anything good happening to my life from the life and the actions that I had done. Pastor Felipe, if you think it's too loud, you give him a sign to lower it. I was in prison minding my own business. And here I would find myself being touched by the power of God. Tim, lower it down a little bit. Keep an eye on Pastor Felipe back there. I found myself in a cell being touched by the grace and mercy of the Lord. In my heart, in my thinking, in my mind, in the place that I was at, I just knew he had the wrong person. It couldn't be me that he wanted. I had lived an evil life for so many years. It just couldn't be me that he would want to use. So I understand that at times when we become new converts in the Lord, that it's hard to understand that the Lord would really want to use our lives in a mighty and powerful way as good seed to be planted in this field, in this world that we live in. It's sometimes hard to believe that Jesus would want to use someone like you and I. You don't have to have a drug background, amen, to be in disobedience here this day. You can have a great education and still not be answering the call of God, for the enemy is able to use education to keep people from answering the call of God. So here, through God's grace and mercy, the Lord, the enemy destroyed my life. He stole everything from my life. He tried to kill me over and over, but God's grace and mercy was there in that cell with me. And his purpose of wanting to give me life, and life more in abundance, nothing could satisfy my life. He would speak to me in a prison cell. And I'm going to let you know, if the Lord was able to speak to me clearly in that prison cell, that he can speak to you clearly here this day in a parking lot. He can speak clearly to you right now on Facebook in your living room, right there where you're listening to the word of the Lord. The Lord is speaking to you through his grace and mercy, and he wants to fulfill his purpose not only in your life, but through your life. I have two questions here this morning. How many have already experienced what the enemy had to offer? You see, the purpose of the enemy and the purpose of the Lord offer each and every one of us something here this day. I know I took the enemy's offer, his purpose. I didn't know that all that was going to take place. It was a half-truth he gave me. And I ran with that half-truth. But here this morning, you're getting the full truth from the Father of truth, from the Lord himself, speaking directly into your life here this day in a parking lot within West Dallas. Amen? Who would have thought that this would be the spot that the Lord would choose as the Harley Davidsons go by, as the cars go by, as the world passes by, as death passes over us right now? Who would have thought that the Lord would use a parking lot to speak into your lives here this day. I don't know about you, but the last time I looked, the purpose of a parking lot is to park cars, not to have church. But because the Lord is able to use all things and make all things good, it's why he's speaking to you to verify and to declare his purpose for your life, that he can speak to you not only from inside the sanctuary, but also outside the sanctuary, within your living room, and wherever you may be this day. The Bible says that his hand is not too short, that he can reach you right there where you're at. Second question is, how many have experienced what Jesus has to offer your life? Not just know what he has to offer your life, but have experienced what Jesus has to offer your life. There's many, including the enemy, that know the purpose of the Lord. But it's experiencing the purpose of the Lord within your life that makes the difference, the application to his purpose here this Sunday morning. And his purpose is a rich and satisfying life, the Bible says in the NLT translation. Your translation might read to give you an abundant life. My life, not to go contrary to what the purpose of the Lord is in having me satisfied. I'm satisfied as a son of God, but I'm not satisfied yet because I still know that God wants to reach others and sow into the life of others that are still lost and bound or not being used in church. Amen. I'm not satisfied because I know that God still has a greater work that he wants to do in these end times that he's living in, that we're living in right now. The more I want is for others to be radically saved, for your life to be used by God, to experience the power of God working not only in your life, but to experience the power of God working through your life. Never in a million years would I think I would be doing what I'm doing right now, trying to juggle pages blowing all over the place up here. Amen. I believe here this day, the Lord is speaking to someone. Because it goes so much further than coming to church. We need to be the church. Wherever we're at, we need to be the church. And there's ever a time for the church and the body of Christ to recognize Christ. It's right now. The enemy's the one being recognized every day for the last, I don't know how many months, he's been getting recognized from the morning till nighttime. Every single day, including Sunday morning, the enemy is right now being recognized nationwide. And there's a fear upon the field, which represents the world here this day. There's a fear upon the church here this day. And as much as the enemy likes to be recognized, I want you to listen. There's times that he does not want to be noticed. There's times that the Lord does not, that the enemy does not want to be noticed. And as we go back to the parable of Jesus here this morning, how many love to be recognized? Do you know that's where a lot of quarrels come from? Everybody's always wanting to be recognized. Look at me. When it should be, look at Jesus. We should be humble servants of the Lord that point the way to Jesus. In this parable, as much as the enemy loves to be recognized, in this parable, he wanted to go unnoticed. Amen? He wanted to go unnoticed. Verse 25 of Matthew chapter 13, as we follow along in our Bible, smartphone, whatever you have here this beautiful morning. It says, But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. The Bible records that the enemy came at night. Remember, there's two sowers here this day. He came at night. The Bible says that he sowed the bad seed, the weeds, amongst the wheat. And the Bible goes, then he slipped away. He didn't want to be noticed. He did not want to be noticed. Here we, in this parable, we find the enemy coming at night, planting the weeds among the wheat, then slipping away, not wanting to be noticed. The Bible records the next morning the workers woke up and they noticed all these weeds growing within their wheat field. I have here in my notes, when the enemy is not noticed, when the enemy is not noticed, it's very easy for us to blame one another and get into fights with one another. We come to find that the enemy loves being noticed nationwide through the riots, the virus, fulfilling his purpose of coming to kill, steal, and destroy. But yet we see another look into the life of the enemy that also likes to go unnoticed. And the Bible records that he came at night with a bag full of bad seed, of weeds, to sow amongst the field of wheat. When the enemy is not noticed, it's very easy for us to blame one another and get into fights. Let's go to verse 27. Verse 27 says, the farmers, workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? And there's even times when the enemy cannot be noticed that we can even question Jesus. We can even question if Jesus is with us. Has your life ever been in a place where the weeds got so bad, where you even question if Jesus was with you? In that time that you needed him most, and it felt like he was nowhere to be found, have you ever said, where are you, God? Why is this taking place in my life? In my marriage, in my family, at the job place. I've been serving you faithfully. Why, Lord? The farmers came with that report that next morning. the enemy could not be seen, so they started, I believe, to blame it on one another before they brought it to Jesus. And they were trying to figure out amongst each other where these weeds came from. Where they finally brought it to the Lord. I believe there's times that we go through hard times and we call him or her, and it works for a little bit. It's a bad, but it gets to a time where you got to call and go to the man called Jesus. I have a question here. Have you ever planted good seed along with long hours of hard work to produce something great within your life or within someone else's life? You've gone totally out of your way. You're that good seed and you've been sowing into that love member's life. You've been putting long hours into it. You've been having faith. You've been making all the right moves and bringing that one person, that son, that daughter, unto salvation. And all you come up with is a bunch of weeds in return. Have you ever done all the right things that the Lord has requested and ended up with a bunch of weeds tangling themselves around the one you're trying to save in Jesus? Have you ever given it your best shot? Give it all you had. Made all the right moves. And still you wake up in the morning coming to Jesus. Say, what must I do? I have a point here and says, it tells you and I, the believers, the good seed here this morning of the parable, tells us that we can be in obedience unto the Lord and still get weeds. Why? The enemy is fulfilling his purpose right now. He's a sower as much as the Lord is. But he sows bad seed when the Lord is sowing good seed. And if bad seed can get results, why then can't good seed from the Lord, remember what the good seed represents in the parable, it represents you and I, then why at times can you and I not get those results? We all got results when we were sowing bad seed. I mean, it came to all of us. When we were running in the world, doing our thing, whatever it might have been, whatever we sowed in that bad seed, it grew overnight. You didn't have to wait till morning. Tells us that we can be in obedience and still get weeds and still get no results. Because of the purpose of the enemy is real here this day. But the purpose of Jesus is greater than the purpose of the enemy here this day. And the concern of the Lord here this day is the good seed. The good seed within this parable that represents you and I. Are we producing fruit from our lives? Are we an influence unto the lost and the bound? The Lord calls you and I here this day good seed. The Lord's seed is an incorruptible seed. Nothing can stop it. The incorruptible seed of the Lord. And Jesus goes on to say, farmer, it's not your fault. It's nobody's fault here this day. In verse 28, Jesus responds to them and says, an enemy has done this. The farmer explained, an enemy has done this. We need to know here this day whether the enemy is being acknowledged or not acknowledged. That he is the root to the things that we're going through in this world that we live in right now. But there's times that the results come back within our lives because of what we've been sowing. So the question the Lord and I have to the church this day is, what have you been sowing lately? Because whatever you sow will either fulfill the purpose of the enemy or it will fulfill the purpose of Jesus. It's a decision here this day to be recognized as good seed or bad seed. The Bible says that the field represents the world. Scripture says that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And that's why other scripture says also that the grace and mercies of the Lord are fresh each and every morning. We don't need grace and mercy just on Sunday morning. We need God's grace and mercy each and every morning that we wake up. We need to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You see, the problem is that Jesus is being acknowledged only on church days, and the enemy is being acknowledged every day. That's what's taking place right now. Many churches are working under religion. They're saying all the right words, but not applying none of the words. Good seed needs to be planted. In other words, when you plant, I don't care what kind of seed, you gotta till the ground, you gotta plant the seed, you gotta continue watering, pulling the weeds out. If you want that tree, that bush, that plant to be successful in producing its flowers, its fruit, its oranges, whatever it may be, it takes work. It takes work to be good seed of the Lord. It takes work in building the kingdom of God in these end times that we're living in. And I believe the answer to this world that we're living in, this field, is having a true relationship with Jesus. A true relationship that starts your day off with Jesus every day of the week, every day of the month, every day of the year. This is the way. So even if the weeds come, Jesus says, I got this. And even if the enemy is going unrecognized, and you might be in a heated battle with someone, that ain't the cause to why you're feeling the way you're feeling. Jesus says, the enemy's done this. I want to let you know that here, this beautiful day, that the Lord is in control, even though it looks like the enemy's in control. Biblically speaking, he's a defeated foe, and his weaponry has been stripped. Look at The Lord goes on to say in verse 48 and 30, the farmer says, should we pull up the weeds? They ask. Verse 29. Let's go to verse 29 to 30. The Bible says, no, he replied. Here's the answer. Even if you're in obedience and there's still weeds all around you. No, he replied, you will uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat into the barn. Amen? Here, the Lord gives the workers, you and I, instructions on what to do, whether the enemy is being recognized or if the enemy is being not recognized. He's given us instructions, clear instructions here this Sunday morning, in what to do in regards to the weeds. Here, the weed. Many years ago, I did a study on the weeds. Amen. It was probably 10, 12 years ago. And this weed here that is being discussed through this parable by the Lord was a weed called darnel. Darnel, D-E-R-N-E-L, darnel. It was a type of weed, amen, that the farmers and the workers were familiar with that would come into the fields in those biblical times. And what needs to be known about this weed called darnel, amen, and why the Lord says, no, just let them grow together. Don't pull it up. You might pull out the good. Just let them grow together. We need to know this day that this weed, the darnel, called darnel, was a weed that resembled wheat in its early stages of growth. They both looked identical. When the wheat was germinating and breaking ground and growing, before it produced the kernel of wheat, the weed called darnel resembled exactly what wheat looked like. This weed, darnel, was a toxic weed as well. How many know we're living in a toxic world? Commentary says if you were to consume enough of this darnel weed, this toxic weed, that it was lethal, it would kill you. How many know that people are dying out there right now because of the tares and the weeds of the sower, the enemy, that comes to kill, steal, and destroy? It's serious right now. Pastor hasn't been cutting many jokes lately during his messages because it's serious business here this day. The purpose of the enemy is being fulfilled, where we all can agree here this day, whether you watch the news or not. But before this service is over, we must agree that the purpose of God for your life and my life is greater, and that His grace and mercy is able to save any man, any woman, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done. And we, you and I, the good seed, carry the potential and the power to save others in Christ Jesus. There's power in your life today. A power that's way greater than the power and the purpose of the enemy here this day. I'm certain of it. Is your life being sown into the kingdom of God? Are you fulfilling the purpose of God of what He has for your life? Are you able to testify and say, Pastor, here I am. I am a son of God. Pastor, here I am. I'm a daughter of God. And I'm doing what He has called me to do. I am answering the call. Can you testify loudly, boldly, clearly here this afternoon that you are doing and fulfilling the purpose of God for your life, to work through your life and saving those that are lost and bound right now? The good news here this morning is that you could be stagnant, knowing what God wants, knowing the call upon your life, and still not being that good seed. You're that good seed. You're just not sowing this kingdom seed that is able to transform people's lives, that is able to transform your daughter's life, your son's life, your neighbor's life, your co-worker's life. Do you not know that you are known by God in this parable as good seed? I'm done fulfilling the purpose of the enemy. I did it too long for too many years. And I'm preaching the gospel here this Sunday morning simply by the grace and mercy of what Jesus did in my life. When I got saved, I wasn't in a church. I wasn't in a parking lot. I was in a prison cell. Because Jesus knew the right time and the right place to get to me. And I believe there's a few in the parking lot here this beautiful Sunday morning. It's the right time and the right place for you being the good seed and fulfilling the purpose of God. It's never too late. It was hard to tell this darnel weed from the wheat. So Jesus says, no, leave him alone. Don't pull it up. You might pull out the good. They look so identical. And we know that the enemy comes as an angel of light. He's a counterfeit. He's a counterfeit here this day. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's cruising by looking like, what the heck are they doing in the parking lot? It's like it's something strange, but he's going to go home and turn the TV on and look at the riots and the fires and look at it. That's just the way it is. That's the world we look at. He was cruising, saying, like, in English, he was like, what the heck are they doing? In Espanol, ¿y esos qué están haciendo ahí en las sillas? I don't see no beer cans, because I used to hang out in parking lots to drink and party and sling dope and do all that stuff. Amen? He went and it was like an odd. He didn't see no beer cans, no cussing, no fighting, no whirly music. And he heard a voice, but he couldn't see who was speaking. He goes, where's that? Where's it at? The Lord don't need much to get His will done. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people to be that good seed in the bad times that we're living in right now. Too many times we easily judge one another. We make our assumptions about our brother, our sister, based on what we see and not based off of what God sees. He looks into the inner part of man and woman. And too many times we want to say she's a Christian, but she's not. He's a wannabe Christian. And too many times we judge one another, not recognizing that it's a work of the enemy. Our purpose is to be the good seed in the field of the world. Our purpose is to sow God's word. We're the redeemed seed of the Lord that have been radically saved for such a time as this. And the Lord says there in verse 38, Jesus replied, the Son of Man is the firm. Verse 38 goes on to say, let's go to verse 39. The enemy who planted the weeds amongst the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Amen? In other words, it is the angels at the end. The Bible says, amen, that it's the angels at the end that are going to sort out, the Bible says. They're going to sort out the weeds from the wheat. It's not our job to sort out who's who. Our purpose is to fulfill the purpose of being the good seed that is in the hand of the Lord, that the Lord wants to release into this field, which is the world. I have a question here this day. Whose life have you been sowing into lately? We've been called to sow into broken lives. Broken lives that don't look like Christians, that don't behave like Christians, that don't need to be judged. How long, once again, I say, did it take us to get right? How long did it take for the Lord to get a hold of our lives? To be used of Him. Our job is to sow. We are the good seed that belongs to the farmer in this parable known as the Son of Man, Jesus. Our job is not to sort out the weeds from the wheat. Our job is to be used of God. And I'm excited here this day because I believe in my heart if we would apply the message of the Lord that clearly gives instructions here this day of what to do in darkened times, of what to do even if things ain't going right when you're making all the right moves. I need some men and women. Possibly the church doors are going to be open because the church doors were never closed. They were never closed. I just want to say the physical church doors possibly will be open next Sunday. And I believe if you were listening today, in your spirit, you should be bearing witness to say, I got to fulfill the purpose that the Lord has placed within my life. I want Him to be acknowledged nationwide. I want Him to be acknowledged on the news from the morning till nighttime, all day, every day, and not just little glimpses on Sunday, a little bit of Facebook time. I want Jesus to be recognized in what He has done in my life. And I want people to see if He was able to do it for me and transform my life into becoming good seed. producing a harvest of 30, 60, 100 fold? I'm convinced that you too can be sown by the Lord and producing fruit. The world will never satisfy those. You can take 1,000 hits of crack and you're still going to want another hit. You could just take one hit and still want another hit. Because the world's not meant to satisfy your heart, your life. Jesus' purpose, found in John 10, says that he will give you life, a satisfying life. I'm way beyond being satisfied already in what he has done in my life. But I still am not satisfied in what he still wanted to do in it through your lives. I believe in my spirit that our church is going to be that light upon the hill. In these end times that we're living in, that we're going to have white, black, and brown, every race, every color and tongue in our church, because what's taking place right now is in every color. Every color falls short of the glory and honor of Jesus. We all fall short. I believe if we that are here in the parking lot this day, those that are viewing through via Facebook, if you would become that good seed in the field which represents the world, that God is going to use your lives like never before, whether the weeds are there or whether the weeds are not. He wants to use you right now. I believe that we are not going to have room in our church to contain what Jesus is wanting to do in the field of this world, in the field called Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I believe signs and wonders are going to start taking place within the church at a rate where the cameras of the news are going to start coming and wanting to know why that gang member is no longer a gang member, why that prostitute is no longer a prostitute, why that educated person now has said no to their dreams to be good seed in the hands of the Lord. I believe it is time for the Lord to be recognized. And he's going to be recognized through your life and my life, just as much as the enemy's being recognized through all the riots that are taking place and through the virus that are taking place right now. If the enemy can be recognized for the bad that's taking place, why can't Jesus be recognized for the good that is in motion and about to take place through each and every one of our lives? Do you agree with me here this day that the need in Milwaukee is just not on the south side or the north side? It's on the east side just as much as it is on the west side. Amen. Every part of Milwaukee needs the saving grace of Jesus as we stand this beautiful day. The Lord's looking for some good seed. That just don't know, want to know the wisdom of that, but he's looking for some good seed that's willing to be sown into the field of this world. Will the church respond? Will the church bring recognition to the Lord? From the church, I make it more personal. Will you respond? If somewhere through the message, the Lord just stirred you a little bit, He's calling you. He's calling you. He not only loves you, He wants to use you. He wants to use your life. He's not worried about the weeds. He says at the end, the angels will take care of the weeds. He put them up into bundles and He'll throw them into the fire. The Lord not only loves you, He wants to use you as His good seed. He wants to use you as His signs and wonders of what He has done in your life. To show others, the lost and bound, strangers, some of your own very family members that are going the wrong way and need to see a sign and wonder. And that's you. That's you. I'm convinced Jesus wants to use you here this day. And I'm going to do an altar call here this day, right there where you're at. And this altar call is going to be a twofold altar call. One is for salvation. And the other one is that your life, which is God's good seed, may be sown. Here this day by faith, I would ask that you would repeat after me. Just say, Jesus, forgive me, for I am a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross. I also believe that you rose again on the third day. Jesus, right now I need you to enter my heart as Lord and Savior of my life. The second altar call is for those that are saved already. You know you're that good seed that the Lord was speaking about in the parable, but you're not being sown into this broken city right now. I would pray that you would repeat after me. Just say, Jesus, forgive me for not applying your word that calls me the good seed. For not applying into broken lives your word that has changed my life, transformed my life. And I ask you here this day, Lord, that you would forgive me and that you would once again, through your grace and mercy, give me the opportunity to sow into a broken life. Here this day. Amen. Right there where you're at, just want to pray for you. Father, we thank you here this day. We love you here this day, Lord. We thank you for your word that calls us your good seed. And I pray, Lord Father God, that your word that has gone forth here this afternoon may not return void back unto you, but accomplish what you set it out to do, Lord. That we would witness the church packed out with people that at one time were lost and bound, but now radically saved. And slowly but surely, Lord, you're going to be lifted up on high, that all would be able to acknowledge you, Lord, and be able to see that it was you that did it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering right there where you're at. How many know this is a beautiful, beautiful sunny day, amen? The parking lot has almost turned into a park, taking the lot out, amen. But praise the Lord, amen. God bless each and every one of y'all. If anyone wants to speak to myself or my beautiful wife, we are here for you, amen. If you have any questions in positions, what's open in the church right now, and how you would want to be used in your church, maybe your gifts that you know that are within your life, I'm here to discuss anything and everything with you, amen. I'll make my way down off the roof in a minute, amen. God bless each and every one of y'all. Be with the Lord. Go be with the Lord.